to the Buddha, to the Dharma, to the Sangha. In Bendoa, Dogen says the following. In order to become enlightened, it is not possible to rely upon the worldly knowledge of either men or gods. While the Buddha lived, there were various stupid and crazy persons who worked for enlightenment by various means, and later found the true way to free themselves from delusions as a result of true faith. One female trainee who waited with a cooked meal for a foolish old priest was enlightened simply by observing his silent sitting. Enlightenment does not depend on knowledge, scholarship, characters, or sayings. What is needed is true faith in Buddhism. Buddhism has spread to various countries during the last 2,000 years, and it appeals to other people besides the cultured, clever, and rich. For truth, with its inherent power for good, spreads naturally throughout the world when given the chance. Anyone who trains with true faith will be enlightened equally with everybody else without differentiation between the clever or the stupid. All beings have an abundance of the seed of truth, but few people know this fact. They do not train with true faith since they have no adequate recognition of Buddha's truth and no experience in applying it. This is one of the most clear expressions I know of. Of the truth that worldly achievement, worldly knowledge, worldly success, fame, fortune, all of these things mean nothing with respect to enlightenment. It's important to understand that when Dogen speaks of true faith in Buddhism, you know, the very heart and soul of Buddhism for Dogen is Zazen. Zazen not just in terms of formal sitting practice, but in terms of that upward lifting of the heart to the eternal that is the natural expression of genuine faith. That calling of the heart to its true refuge, that listening of the heart to its true refuge. That following of its true refuge. As Reverend Master wrote and said so many times, we Westerners are overly brainwashed in the direction of reliance upon intellectual understanding. People come to believe that their future, in every sense, depends upon worldly knowledge. When they have difficulties, they think that psychology offers the solution and other social sciences. For those of us who have found a true teacher and a true contemplative path, to put it simply, we have a better way. We have a better way. We don't have to flee back to the worldly when the going gets tough. We can deepen our faith at that time. It's said that ultimately we vote with our feet. When our feet are going towards the eternal, we're redirecting the whole course of our stream of karma back towards the true source of its help. Do not embrace worldly theories. Do not embrace worldly fads in theory and in technology. No, be content to sit with an open heart. Be content to live with an open heart. And walk a path of true faith. That which has been transmitted to us through Reverend Master Jiyu is the very heart and essence of what Buddhism is. It is Buddhism in its very finest expression. Don't settle for second best. You know, no one can force us to settle for second best unless we wish to. It may be that this teaching and this practice ask a lot of us, or seem to do. They offer far more than they ask of us. And the simple fact in human life is that unless you apply yourself to anything wholeheartedly, you never get really good at it. If one applies oneself to meditation, to training in the precepts wholeheartedly, progress is certain. Every time the going gets difficult, one runs back. To shallow teaching, shallow practice, shallow understanding, clinging to the head. Then progress is much more tortuous. Much slower. Remember what I said about erudition in the last talk I did. The real essence of erudition is simply hanging on to the head for dear life, clinging to one's mental computer. No real hope in that, and no genuine enlightenment can come from it. Just replace a bunch of shallow ideas with a bunch of other shallow ideas, and the fact that some seem deeper than others In the end, it's all the same. What this training offers us is an opportunity to leap beyond the ideas, to trust in and follow the heart, to hear the voice of the Lord of the house, to know with our blood and bones what is real and what is not, to live in this certainty and to die with this certainty. There is nothing from the first. And as Rav Messer said, it is the most immaculate, most magnificent nothing. Men are afraid to fall through the void, forgetting their own minds, not knowing that the void is the true realm of the Dharmakaya. It cannot be expressed better than that. It is not a matter of having to get rid of our thoughts. It's just a matter of not taking refuge in them. It's not that there's no validity in worldly knowledge. It's just that it is not a genuine refuge and it does not constitute enlightenment. One can know everything in the world and not realize one iota of genuine conversion, of greed, hate, and delusion into compassion, love, and wisdom. Something more is required. Something other is required. You know, the actual training of self and the letting go of self, the transcendence of self, the conversion of self. Modern people tend to be suckers for the quick fix and the gloss over of the underlying problem. And that only perpetuates suffering. To do a single focused practice, year in and year out, going sometimes through the mountains, sometimes through the desert, sometimes across great raging rivers, metaphorically speaking, just to continue it year in and year out with the right degree of effort, the right kind of concentration, above all, the constant working on faith, the constant expression of faith. That's what does it. It isn't magic. When someone really gets a hold of the will and really focuses in and does this, progress can be amazingly fast. Let the world be as it is. Let the worldly theories, the worldly fads, be what they are. Let fame and gain in the world be what it is. And just continually let go of all that and take refuge in something deeper within yourself. When you die, all those external things simply vanish. That which is your true self, the Lord of the house, the eternal, your Buddha nature, it does not vanish. It is. Don't put all your money on a loser. Go for what is real. When anyone does this truly, the generation of merit is tremendous, and there is a natural overflowing of merit that extends out to the world around this individual. We saw it so dramatically in the case of our master. So many of us benefited so immediately and personally from it. Don't underestimate, in particular, the long-term effects of even a moment of genuine meditation. Power and its efficacy for a very long time indeed. It's not flashy. It's not something the world tends to notice. And yet it supports and sustains this realm of existence in which we live and prevents it from turning into an utter hell. Let the people who don't really know anything about what Buddhism really is have their arguments about whether Buddhism is or is not atheistic, whether Buddhism is or is not a religion that has faith involved. Ignore this silliness. And keep your focus firmly on your own training. If we do not seek the attention of the world, by and large, the world's very good at simply ignoring us. The deeper the training, in general, the more invisible it is to the worldly eye. And this is a way in which our temple can be peaceful, right in the midst of the world. If ever we're daft enough to seek out the attention of the world, we'll bring down much upon us that we really don't like. Seek only the cultivation of true faith and leave everything else in the hands of the eternal.